Today's daf is Daf Yud Daled, and we ended by discussing. Well, we started Perek HaKesef as opposed to Perek HaZav, as I pointed out, and we were looking at the fact that at the end of the shiur, it was talking about that Zahav is still considered a matbea. Well, it's proof that it's a matbea, and one of these implications were if it's considered currency versus product, whether you can you can lend someone a certain amount of Zahav. Meaning, we're talking about the Zahav is like a dinar Zahav, like well, still a coin. And they can return that same amount to you as a loan. Because the concern is if it fluctuates in value, then you have, which is referred to as ribbit, but it's really ribbit derabanan, which is se'ah ba'se'ah, meaning lending someone a thing, a kilo of wheat, and they return a kilo of wheat back. The problem is, if it increases in value, it's effective. It's not direct ribbit, but it's ribbit min derabanan. But the point is, the fact that we allowed it seemed to suggest that no, this is considered a coin, it's considered currency, it's considered a matbea, so therefore it's fine. So the Mishnah, that, the Gemara that continues, karat ba'karat is shari. And lakan, however, lakan malakan asu. Now the Marafulda simply explains these are types of coins. A karat per karat is a ravit, so a ravit asela, it sounds like, which is, pardon me, which is seem to be that's considered currency. But this lakan, which is 32 prutot, it's considered so pachot, if you like, that it's considered like a pira. It's considered it's not doesn't have the categorization of a coin such that it would be a problem of being lover. That currency and asking for that amount, exact amount back. Okay, fine. The Pnei Moshe has a different reading of this, but we'll leave it at that. Let's continue. Meaning, completely understanding, he's talking about a change in changes in value, that those are quantities and changes in value, but leave that for the moment. Let's continue. Taman Taninan. Now, a lot of what we're going to see here, we've actually seen in Masechta Kiddushin, and you'll see why in a moment. And therefore, the Mefarshim explain that there's a lot of succinct parts that are basically pointers in that sugya, and therefore we fill in a lot of the gaps based on our learning in those sugyas. So you'll see as we go through the sugya as we fill it in. So let's continue. It says Tamataninam, Kol HaNesa Damim Ba'acher, Kivan Shesachah Bazen, Nitchaya. So anything that if you want to sell it to somebody else, you've got to work out its value. Then effectively, which is anything metaltalin, meaning it's not a straight denominational sort of thing, so anything movable, that you can have a, what's called a Kinyan Chalipin. Now, Kinyan Chalipin is a straight barter. It's not value for value. It means I have this, you have that, let's swap. That's a Kinyan Chalipin. Okay? And if I once, let's say you have a cow, I have a donkey, there can be different values. And let's say, let's swap. I take your cow, you take mine, and therefore you acquire my donkey. Simple as that. Okay? Now, the Gemara now says, Amarav Yochanan, Loshon Ella Shor Bapara, or Chamor Bashor. That really refers, as the example we said, of turned about straight barter, straight chalipin, if you're talking about an animal for an animal, which sounds like distinct, unique objects, if you like. Hatzibur betzibur, if you're talking about like piles of things, of produce and the like, lokana. Because that's an opinion that there's a shita that payrot is not nikne bechalipin. That chalipin doesn't apply to such items, for whatever reason. Now, Rav Yirmiyah says, B'shem Rav, afilu tzibur betzibur kana, it would even work tzibur betzibur. Now, Rav Abba Bar Mina says, B'shem Rav, Hamachlich Abruklun, Abruklun Kana. Now, this seems to be another statement, if you like, of Rav that relates to some sort of collection of something. In other words, another proof that of Tzibur is even collections can work through Chalipin. Now, in the Shinui Nusraot, in the bottom, it says, it quotes the Rach that it's Krichot Sher Yiriyot Nikro Balashon Yavan. Kurukulin or something. So that's like bundles of fabrics of some sort. Okay. In any event, it's some sort of the point is dealing with Siburim again. It's a proof for Rav saying you can have bundles and bundles and barter can work for that. It's not just distinct, unique objects. Yafeh. That's that sugya. Now Rav Zira says, Rav Yehuda says B'shem Shmuel. Importantly, this is a shit of Shmuel. Lezeh para velezeh chamor. Okay, one person's got a cow, the other person's got a donkey. V'chlifu zeh bazeh, and they decide to do a barter exchange. So proper chalipin. The owner of the donkey takes a para. The para is now in his possession. Now the owner of the cow now comes along and wants to take his donkey that he says is really that was part of the deal. However, matzah shvura, and he finds that it sounds like lame here, but the way we had it in Kiddushin, we found it was dead. So it makes a big difference. If this animal died prior to the whole transaction, well, the transaction was a good transaction. It's give me my cow back. If it died after, well, bad luck. Sorry, you know, we did the deal. As soon as you do a kinyan chalipi, one person does a kinyan on one. It's the sale's closed. It's just have to give him the animal. And I'm sorry, it just happened to die. Your bad luck. Okay? That's kind of the question here. So the question is, who has to bring the raya? If you remember when we learned this, we said you might think that the owner of the donkey now has the cow in his possession. Okay? So you would think that the owner, it's the burden of proof is on the owner of the cow to say, give me my cow back. Hamotzi mechavaro, because he's trying to bring it back. So the burden of proof is, I want my cow back. The burden of proof is on him to say when this donkey died. However, the Gemara says this is, if you remember, we said this is an exception to the general, if you like, the not an exception to Hamotzi mechavaro, but it doesn't apply in this context. It says, because we say, Bala chamor, the owner of the donkey has to bring the raya. Shehaya chamoro shalem, he has to bring the proof. Shalem b'shat shemashach, on the time of the Mashiach. Now, why is that? We've got a few different explanations here. The Marafulda says, because b'chalipim it's a hefech t'achle okmahu. When it comes to chalipim, we don't say amotzi b'chavar l'avaraya, because he's trying to establish it to still be his. So what? I'll read you a bit more now in the mouth, the Tepe Moshe. It says, shani hacha b'chalipim, t'kevan dolada safik b'ikara. Therefore, lav muchzak mikri. The fact that the para is in the possession now of the Bala Chamor, that this doesn't mean he's a muchzak on it, because there's a safek within the kinyan itself. And since there's a safek within the kinyan itself, it's not muchzak. So why does hamotzi mechavaro alav haraya work? That is because we say whoever has in his possession, he has a chazak on it. Therefore, the burden of proof is on the person who wants to extract it. But in this case of chalipin, where there's a bit of safek regarding the actual kinyan itself, he's not considered muchzak, despite the fact he's holding it. That's the point. And therefore, just to, if you remember, when we look at the Korban Eidah, therefore we say we go back to the Marakama, meaning who was the original owner of this cow? Well, the cow's owner, right? So therefore, the burden of proof is placed on the owner of the donkey, original owner of the donkey, to say that this donkey died after he did Mashiach, after he took the para. Otherwise, he has to return it. Okay? So this inyan, the important understanding of the Shita of Shmuel is that if there's a safek within the kinyan chalipin itself, some sort of safek regarding it, we go back to the marakama. Okay? That's the understanding. And it's uman de lo savar, ha milta lo savar benezikin. Klomit says, everyone who doesn't understand this, doesn't hold this position, doesn't understand him nizikin at all. Amar Rabbi Zera is nonetheless cholak. He says, Leina sabra hada milta, I don't hold this. So he says, no, this is the situation. It's in his possession. Matzami chavaro alav araya. Now the cow's in his possession. You want it back, bring a raya. So that's a machlok ben Shmuel and Rabbi Zera. In other words, if it's a safek within, or there's a question within the actual kinyan chlip in itself, do we go back to Marakama, or we still apply the principle of Matzim Chavar? Now, the next four words, Valena Sava Menazikin Klum, it's interesting whether you agoris this. We didn't have this back in the second of the Kiddushin, and so you could probably even take it out, or he's just saying it rhetorically, meaning. But the point is, Rebbe Zera is Cholak. Now, Tamar Taninam. Now, for this, what I want to do is, if you have a look at the Marafulda, he brings a whole Nusach, if you like, from the Masechta Kiddushin. So if you sort of switch across to the Marafulda, we'll continue there, because again, it's brought very succinctly. It was like a one-liner here, but you really need to fill it in. So I'll continue. It says, Amar Rabba, Matnita, meaning the Mishnah is, well, it says Pliga al Shmuel, but when it weren't there, it was according to the Korban Eidah, it's clearly a proof for Shmuel. Why? This relates to the case, Hayah bo mumim ve'odah be'beit ha'av. This is someone who did Kiddushin. And then it's found that she has all these mumim, these blemishes that would make a kiddushin atar, if you like. The husband says, these mumim were before I did kiddushin, mekach tals. The father's saying, sorry, these mumim developed after the fact, nistachas adel, it's your bad luck. Okay, that was the machloket. So what do we say? Ha'av tzarich la'vi raya, the father has to bring a proof. If what? If he wants to collect the ketubah from the chasan. Okay? Meaning, if the chassan doesn't want to go ahead with the wedding and he wants to collect ketubah, the father has to bring a proof. So the Gemara says, "Lo habal tzarich lavi raya lo atziah hakiddushin mirshosav." But one second, what about the kiddushin? What about the big fat ring he gave for kiddushin? Do we say, wouldn't you say the same, shouldn't we say the same thing? The Baal has to bring a raya, proof if wants to get that back? The fact that we don't say that is a perfect raya shlishmuel. Since it's a suffix for the ikar of the kinyan, we go back to the marakama, the original owner of the ring, and the ring is a husband. Beautiful. That's why the mission doesn't say the husband has to bring a raya if he wants his ring back, because it would automatically go back to him. A proof to Shmuel. That's a suffix in the ikar kinyan. We go back to the marakama. Yafet works very nicely. Let's continue. Talmidei de Rav Yonah. Amri tiftar b'kiddushei ketana. This says, no, don't necessarily bring a proof because we could talk about, or kiddushei ketana, we're talking about where the kiddushin itself was a very small denomination and therefore the husband is not really interested in getting it back. Okay, interesting. I didn't tell this story last night. I remember a friend who there was a question by his, for some reason at his wedding, there was something happened with the erusin. And the Masada kiddushin was a chief rabbi, came back and wanted to do the erusin again. He's in the middle of the wedding, called them out. And the action of doing the Erusin, they didn't do it with a ring. They did it with like a 5 shekel coin, I think it was. I think it was something like that. So the actual Kiddushin was done with a coin. So it's something of small value. There's nothing, in other words, something is not really, he's going to fight about. Okay, anyway, let's continue. Dalma, we've got an incident. Rav Huna, Rav Pinchas, Rav Chizkiya, Salkun, the Mishnah, Bashamo, the Rav. They went to a Greek Rav. Rav Yosef, sorry. Lamelef, and also learned from him. Amrale, Hamat Nita, we've got a this Mishnah, or the end of it, you like, seems to. Messiah of Bezira, or the Gerus we had back in Kiddushin, was Kasha Lishmuel. Okay, why? Because there it says it continues Nichnasa L'Rashut HaBaal. If it goes back to the Rashut HaBaal, if now she actually gets married, she wasn't the Beit Aviyah, this woman that had a mum, and she ends up going into the Rashut of the husband now, and the husband discovers all these mumim, and that's where the whole machloket happens. Then whose proof is it on? Habal tzarich lavi raya. The husband has to bring a proof. If what? If he wants his, kiddushin back, for example. But the Gemara says, "V'lo av tzarich lavi raya la'otzi ktuba." Shouldn't the husband, if you want to say, go by marakama, have to bring a raya if he wants to bring the if you la'otzi et reshut mi'habal? So the fact that that's not the case means you don't go by marakama. The Gemara says, "No, don't bring that as a proof because amalun." Lo modeshmush im mashach bala para et hachamor. Shu'ut tzarich labeyareya, shrei shvua ad shelo nichnas roshoto. V'zeh shnichnas kamosha mashach. In other words, the whole shittur of Shmuel that we says in the case with the suffix regarding the kinyan is, and then we go back to the marakama, is when the bala para hasn't yet pulled, doesn't have mashach at the chamor. However, if he was moshech at the chamor, like in this situation, where the other situation, I should say, where the husband ended up, she was nichnas in the reshuto, ended up moving in with him, for example. Then in that situation, we're back to base principles of hamotzi mechaver l'avaraya. In other words, the whole question, the whole shitter of Shmuel, is if the suffix in the kinyan itself, and he has not yet mashach, he has not drawn this parah toward the so-called chamor towards himself, meaning it's still there on the ground, still in the reshus of the baal ha. Chamor. Okay, yafeh. The Gemara now continues. So that all that gusit, all that nusach that we just read in the Marafulda. So jump to the next Marafulda because it continues with that more of the gusit in the not the next one. The next one where it says hachin gusin about five or about 10 lines down, I think. So it says hachin gusin kiddushin. So there was Rav Bar, Rav Hamnuna, Rav Ada, Bar Achud, b'shem Rav. It says machar lo. Do you know what we're going to do actually? This whole piece, if, I'm not sure if you remember this. I didn't. I just went over the shiur and it reminded me that it was very difficult to understand according to Ol Rishonim. And at the time, we explained it like the Ritbaz. And so, what we're going to do, we're going to look at the Ritbaz because the Ritbaz actually also gives the entire Nusach from the Kiddushin. And actually, what is printed in my Gemara is a copy of what it was basically a copy of what was written in Kiddushin. And we'll probably just go over it again. Because it says, Rav Bar, Rav Avnuna, Rav Adar, Bar Achua, B'shem Rav, Machar lo para b'damim. Let's say, again, he sold his account for a fee, for a money, for 200 shekels. I've no idea, whatever it's worth. Dachke, he comes to Amarle, he says, now, give me my pritaya, give me my money. Amarle, ma, by a minute, what do you want to do with the money? Why are you so pressured to get the money? So Amarle, mizban li chamor, because listen, I want to buy a donkey. I'm selling this cow, so I want to buy a donkey. So mashach balachamor et So the Gemara says, Mashach bala para et hachamor. If the bala para is moshech, there's meshicha to the chamor, lo niknet ha-para. The para is not acquired. To explain this, we have to appreciate because at the time when he did the mechira, he was selling his cow not in the context of chalipin, but as a sale for money. So therefore, when he was mashach bala para et hachamor, when he goes and takes the chamor, it's like taking the cash. And when you take the cash, you don't acquire the chepetz. It's the other way around. So therefore, it's saying mashach bala para tachamor lo niknet ha-para. The para is not therefore acquired the other way. Daha kiman shelo mashach et ha-para lo kana. Chamor, however, ma'u shikne. What happens if he was moshech et ha-chamor? Would he acquire it? So to explain what it means to acquire it, this is where the Ribaz goes different to everybody else. Because everyone else asks, by being moshech et ha-chamor, does it acquire the para across? Okay? Now, this is very hard to understand because if you're saying in the context of the para, it's not a chalipin situation, it's just a monetary, like normal sale for cash, and it just happens to be that the chamor is taking the place of the money, then why would you think if you moshech the chamor that it would acquire the other way around? And that's basically the way the other mafashim explain the sugya. But the way that the Ribbaz explains it, he says in that situation, the question is, does he acquire the chamor at all by doing meshicha on the chamor? I'll explain that in a minute. It says this, so I'll just read. Rav Ba says niknet. Oh, he acquires. It's not a problem. Rav Yossi Amar Einu niknet. He doesn't even acquire the chamor by being do meshicha on the chamor at all. Why? Savar, he takes out the words Rav Ba, by the way, we had in Kiddushin. De'inun chalipin, v'leit inun chalipin. Because he thought, what was he doing at the time? He thought he was doing an act of acquisition through chalipin. And it wasn't a chalipin acquisition. It was a normal money for product type of acquisition. So you have to remember. And then the Gemara continues. Rav Mana says, B'sher Rav Yossi, Pamim, actually, sometimes that would work in that way. Even Rav Yossi would agree. So how would that agree? So let's. If you look at the Rabbaz, drop down about a third of the way down, it says, Ubemet barur dolo garsina tabet Rabbah, like I just explained. So I'm going to go through it again, even though we've done it before, because it's just such a sweet Ribbaz who comes to explain the Yerushalmi in such a unique way that I think it's that's how we explained it last time, so we'll do it again. It says as follows: Ulafize, this whole thing's Rabbi Yossi Ba'alma. And Ayin Mevesef Teshvi says, you have to appreciate this Machlok Mevesef Teshvi. Ma'im Atai Adam Zocheh B'Perot HaBeshvi. If someone's trying to collect something for Shmita, when does it become his? When does he acquire it? So Rav Yirmiyah says, Savar Meshiyatem B'Tocha Kelav. He thinks it's when he puts it in his kelim. Since you, in other words, you go to someone's field, put in your kli, it's yours. However, Yossi Savar, Ma'im Afilo, even if you put in your kli, lo zachah. Even if you put in your own kli, you're not Zocheh. Why? Duhu Savar, because he thinks, same type of Lashon. Because he thinks when I'm picking something from this tree, I think, meaning on Shmita for someone else's field, I think it's already mine. And putting in my basket, I'm not thinking I'm doing a kinyan on it. But from Hefker, I need to do a kinyan to make it mine. So simply placing in my basket, I didn't have the machshavah, if you like, to use the right kinyan to make it mine, according to Rav Yossi. Important to understand that in my machshavah, when I do some sort of act, to make it a kinyan or not, even the mechanism of the kinyan is going to be important. So let's continue. Vachinami kamar. Why? Because Savar, because in this first case, if you remember, this is what happened. He says, I'd like to buy. Again, the case is the person with the cow wants to sell it. And he's willing to sell it for a 200 shekel. Someone comes along and says, I'm happy to buy it. And the person selling it says, look, give me my money, give me my money. And he says, what do you want the money for? For a donkey. So he says, okay, fine, well, you can just take my donkey instead. The problem is when he does a kinyan, when he tries to take the donkey, he thinks he's doing a kinyan chalipin. But this isn't a classic kinyan chalipin because the deal, the actual kinyan that was done, wasn't a kinyan chalipin, it was done for money. And therefore, so it says, in other words, sabad inu chalipin, v'lein inu chalipin. It's not a chalipin kinyan here. That wasn't the initial mechanism through which the sale of this cow is being done. And v'hashta pashut ha-perush, t'hashmata, v'zeh pshita, the law nik para, also the para is not acquired. Madamim. He sold it for what? For money. Because that's what he was doing. He put a price tag on this cow. It wasn't a chalipin. It wasn't a barter exchange. This was selling it for a fixed value. The because the cow wasn't taken, the para wasn't taken. Because it wasn't acquired. Because then it's so clear. Because when it comes to a non-chalipin acquisition, but regarding a normal sale of a product for money, the sale is closed when you take the para. So the para is not acquired until you pull the para. And when he tried to pull, take the when he tried to take the donkey as well, according to Rabbi Yossi, your mindset was, I'm doing a chalipin now, and you're not doing a chalipin at all. So rak achar kach shtava mammon v'natanu ba'ad adami machamor u'mashach et hachamor al v'chamor b'makom adamim. It's only after that when he gives a chamor in place of the damim, because the chamor is wearing the name tag, I am money for sale, for a sale. That's what he's doing. And by taking the chamor, lo kana b'tapara, by pulling the, in other words, both don't work. He doesn't acquire the chamor, and by pulling the chamor, he doesn't acquire, does the para is not acquired either, because the chamor is taking the role of damim in this transaction. The law adifa mima'ot, but what about the chamor? So this is the debate now. Let's explain the debate. Rava de kana, Rava understands when he pulls the chamor, he understands fine. Who mashach et. He understands quite clearly it's quite a mashicha. Okay? Because he holds like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yirmiyah. He's like Rimin Shvit, that even if you, by simply placing this pair of shvit in the basket, even if you think it's yours, doesn't matter, it's fine. The refined understanding in the kinyan, or the mechanism in the kinyan, doesn't matter. Right? It doesn't matter, it's fine, it's his. Valzer Rabbi Yossi says the Enu Kone, Davakumasfirle, because he thought, Dahava, this Chia, because he thinks what I'm doing is wrong. Okay, so it's other words. It's fascinating because according to the Mefarshim, the whole question of the chamor by pulling the chamor, does he now acquire that? Does the close the kinyan that the para is now owned by another person? According to the Ridbaz, it's ridiculous. You can't say that. It's pashut. It doesn't work that the para doesn't work because the chamor it takes the, is in this transaction is acting as damim. It's not a kinyan chalipin. The whole machlok ibn Rabbah and Rav Yasa is whether. That simply even the chamor itself, and if he's taken the chamor, if he's even done a kinyan, because since he's under the impression this is chalipin, and it's not a kinyan chalipin, it's a normal sale transaction for money. So therefore, the question the that's what Reb Bar and Reb Yossi are arguing on. Reb Bar says, look, it doesn't matter. Yes, of course, he's acquired the chamor. It's kinyan on the chamor. However, but Reb Yossi says it's a zchiyah batal. That's what he says, the whole thing. What about the continuation? Right, he goes on and on and on and continues and continues and continues. But let me just go back to the Gemara. I'll just go back to where we left off the Gemara. It says Amar Rav Mana, and I'll explain what the Ribas says outside as we go through it. It says Amar Rav Mana it hacha mili di yodi by Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi would agree. Adam shamala chavaro para ani mevakesh mimkor. Once again, person wants to sell a cow. Amar lebe kama, how much do you want to sell it for? Amar lebe shmona dinarim. I want to sell it for 8 dinar. Gabe. Now here we've got Tarponita. So the Amar explained, he says he sends him over to a money changer, and then they explain this whole sugya has got to do with some financial person in between it, in between, like and therefore each part of the transaction, the chamor and the para are separate. However, again, if we're reading this whole sugya on the Ridbas, he says no. He says Azal Gabe Chad, he says Chad Pruta. He partially pays him, almost like a deposit type of thing. He partially pays him. Well, but Safra, he says, look, I want the rest of my money. So Amalei ma David hacha. He says, what are you doing here? Amalei ana bay mesav dina da smichte. I want the rest of the money. He says, what do you want it for? Amalei at my mizban. What do you want to do with it? Amalei chamor. I want a chamor. Amalei chamor chetzli. You know what? Adu chamor. You can have it. Mashach ze lo kanaze. Mashach ze lo kanaze. Ela kol chad vechad nigne begufo. You know, what he's saying is, in that situation, since it's 100% clear now, since it was a partial payment, everyone in their heads knows that what's going forward is not a barter. Both of them are product for value at transactions, meaning for money. It's not a barter. So for in that situation, that each of them independent acquisitions, and when he's moshech the para, yes, the para is acquired. When he's moshech the donkey, everyone, there's no misunderstanding what's going on. No assumption, maybe this is chalipin, because there's already been a partial payment. The donkey is just being used to finalize the rest of the payment, and therefore, when he acquires, he knows how he's pulling the donkey across, and therefore, it'll be a separate independent acquisition. That's how we explained it, pretty much how I think I've explained it on the read bars in the past, and that's how he explains his sugya. Okay, let's do the next halacha. This is halacha bet. Ketzad. Mashach menu perot velo natan ma'ot eino chalazor. So as we explained before, when it comes to normal, not talking about barter, we're talking about normal purchase for value. In other words, selling a product for a certain amount of money. If he does mashiach, if he pulls the perot and he hasn't given over the money, it's game over. Sale's completed. Okay. Natan, if the money's been handed over, well, velo mashachat perot, and but the product hasn't been handed over, then the sale technically is not closed. However, Avala Amru, he who punished the Anshei Dora Mabul, the Dora Aflaga, I think the other gears is, Atidli Parami Misha Eino Omed Bidvaro. But the Chachamim played a curse on someone that doesn't stand by his word, meaning it's considered dishonest to go back and present after you've given the money, even though technically it's not. The Chachamim make a knas in that situation, like a klala, sorry, a curse in that situation. However, Rav Shimon disagrees. He says, Amar kolcha kesef yado, biyado yado el yonah. I mean, according to Rabbi Shimon, he says, just to re-quote the Marful, he says, mokhershak, meaning, mokhershak kol biyado yachol lachzor bro avalokech, meaning, the mocher has the upper hand. The money, if he's been handed the money, if he likes, he can hand it back, but which is not a problem. In other words, the mocher has the upper hand and not the lokeach. The lokeach can't go back, but the mocher can. Okay, the sender. Also, have a good day, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you.